Hey friends, the 2023 Word on Investing Summit is coming up April 14th and 15th, and this year's theme is Cultivating Abundance. Do you want to learn real-life practical tools that expand your faith and widen your perspective to see new possibilities for your life? Well, I want to invite you to join us for this free virtual summit. Spend 2 days with world-renowned Christian business leaders and financial experts from the comfort of your own home. At the summit, you'll hear from Christian leaders and million-dollar entrepreneurs like myself, the Benham Brothers, Dr. Myron Golden, Auntie Ann Byler, and many more. Our talks will focus on how cultivating abundance in your life is not only crucial for your family, it's biblical. If you're looking to find a renewed sense of purpose in your spiritual life and learn key biblical skill sets that give you the potential to create generational wealth God's way, then make sure to grab your ticket to the Word on Investing Virtual Summit happening April 14th and 15th, 2023, because registration will close soon. So get your free ticket to the summit before it's too late at tradeway.com/summit. That's tradeway.com/summit. Hey guys, I'm David Mitchell, founder and CEO of Tradeway. What if God Himself gave you a blueprint for how to handle your money? Well, the Bible is a practical book. Let's dive in and see what it has to say about wealth, about risk, about leverage, and about investing, and uncover how trading in the stock market can be a powerful tool for moving towards your biggest goals. We're so happy you're here. This is The Word on Investing. Hey guys, glad to have you back on our show today. I am so excited. I have Ann Byler with us today, and you probably know her as Auntie Ann with Auntie Ann's Pretzels. You've probably actually had one of those, or if you had one, you probably had a bunch of those. It's so great to have her on the show today. I want to give you a little information about her before we get started. She was named one of America's top 500 women entrepreneurs by Working Woman magazine. She was named Entrepreneur of the Year by Inc. magazine. She's been featured on many television shows, including Secret Millionaire, The Oprah Winfrey Show, Good Morning America, and others. And she's also a board member of the Museum of the Bible. You know, I've heard you speak at least 3 times now at our Oxlos meetings, where thousands of Christian entrepreneurs, including myself, are sitting out there. And we've been inspired and encouraged by your words, by your thoughts, by your philosophies, and by your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I am so excited to have you on the Word on Investing show today. May I call you Ann?
Of course, you can call me Ann, Auntie Ann, whatever you feel is you want, and I'll answer to all of it.
Okay, very good. Well, Ann, you built this company of yours from a single pretzel shop in Downington, Pennsylvania, at the farmer's market there, I think, in 1988, to a franchise with over 1,200 locations around the country. And also by 1995, you opened your first international Auntie Ann store in Jakarta, Indonesia. And I believe then in November 2010, Focus Brands acquired the company, and now their franchise is all over the world. That is big business success. You know, I know some of the trials and tribulations and the highs and lows of building a company myself, but you took this to a really high level of success, and we are so glad to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you, David. It's so great to be on your podcast, and I really appreciate the opportunity and always enjoy sharing my God story. It's truly a God story for His glory, and so looking forward to chatting with you about all of that today.
Well, thank you so much for giving us some of your time. I know you're busy. But your story, I learn new things every time you tell it, but it's a wonderful story. You know, some of our listeners want to become an entrepreneur. Some of them already are and have their own businesses. In a Tradeway, we teach people how to use the stock market, trading in the stock market, to create a family business to pass down to your kids and your grandkids and have the potential to build generational wealth that way. But this can apply to any kind of business you guys out there own or want to own. But the thing about it is that Ann has built a business literally from scratch to being a large corporation now that's all over the world. And, you know, anytime you can talk to a person that's accomplished those kind of things, you're going to learn something. So we're so happy to have you on. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Here's the first thought that I had. For those listeners of ours that are building their own business right now, would you tell us what you think the top few characteristics in your own life are that enabled you to have this great success?
Well, I think that, you know, for the listeners to really understand the power and the love and the purpose of God for my life, I just have to go back a little bit into my history. And that was, I grew up in an Amish farm, Lancaster County. There were eight of us kids. Mom and dad were hard workers and always around, and taught us the absolute, when I say this, I'm just so thrilled that mom and daddy taught us how to work. Now, that sounds very basic and like almost an unimportant answer to what we're talking about today. But I feel like most of us, or a lot of times, we don't understand the impact that hard work has in success. If we want to be successful, we have to learn how to persevere, how to be committed, how to just be willing to do whatever you got to do to make it work. You know, and I've often said a successful entrepreneur sets himself apart by simply doing what other people don't feel like doing. I know that's very simplistic, but on the farm, I learned how to work hard, and I learned how to be persistent and persevere and simply do almost every day something that I didn't feel like doing. And I feel like that set the stage for me many, many years later when I started Auntie Anne's the company. So number one, I think that you have to be willing to work hard. And then there's also the faith element for myself. Mom and daddy, they taught us that faith in God, and that God has a plan and a specific will for your life to do, and to learn to love him, to trust him, and to let him guide you in your life. And so faith has played an important role. So it's work and faith. And then I feel like the other important piece for me was to be able to get along with people, you know, loving people. And my, again, mom and dad, as we were growing up, they did not want us to fight. And I have to tell you that my mom she was adamant about keeping peace in the family. And so, you know, I took those three very strong in my, they were very, very ingrained in me. And this is what I took with me to work. And of course, there's a whole lot more to that. But, you know, it's hard to know what God's plan for you is when you're just a kid. I mean, how can you know? But as I look back now, over seven decades later, I'm like, I see the value of family, hard work, faith, and just being willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. And even though around the family table, mom and dad, we had three meals a day without exception. Of course, that's back in the era when that's most people did that, I think. But so we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And together, you had to come to the table to eat. And around that table then, I learned how to communicate. I learned that when there are issues in the family, we can, talk about stuff around the table. So I really feel like communication also is another strong key to a successful company. But it's funny to me that I never planned or never even dreamed, never thought that God had a career plan for me. I went through the eighth grade as a little Amish girl. And the three things I did not have were capital. I didn't have a formal education, and we had no business plan. But again, God had a plan, and there's a whole story about how God brought us to Auntie Anne's. But for starters, it just takes a commitment, faith, and hard work to really start your company and to grow it.
You know, Anne, when you were telling your story, I couldn't help but think about my own childhood, because that's the way it was with us, too. We came home for lunch every day from school. My dad drove in from work, and we had lunch, you know, three meals a day at the table. That's where I learned things about how important hard work is, honesty, integrity, not just in our private lives, but, at the office, in our work experience with other companies and all that. And the main thing I learned was you don't quit. Whatever you start, you just follow it through. You don't be a quitter. And you're right. You really do learn how to communicate with others when you're spending that kind of time with your family. And as I've heard Dr. Myron Golden say before, the highest earners in the world are the best communicators. And all those kinds of things were discussed at the dinner table. Even in high school, my dad was teaching me how to run a family business. And, you know, of course, I go to college, I get a master's degree in business, and they really don't teach you how to run a business. So then I come home, I start working in the family business, and I began to learn even more from my family. And then I had mentors out there, you know, at church and different places, and I learned so much from my mentors. And so you have to surround yourself with people that are smarter than you are that you can learn from. And, you know, and for our young folks out there who maybe didn't grow up literally sitting at a table, you know, with their family for all three meals, what can they do? Well, I think you'd agree with me. The best thing they could do is get in the Word of God, you know, start studying the Bible. Wisdom comes from the Bible, and especially books like the book of Proverbs, and just read through the Bible. Contemplate what God is saying to you in your life and pray and make sure you get direction from the Lord on what He wants you to do. But you'll get a great amount of wisdom from Scripture, even about business ideas. As you guys that listen to this show regularly, you know that we talk about business from the Bible all the time. So you'll get way ahead doing that. And then also find godly mentors. I mean, find some older people in your church that have walked in the Word for a long time and know the Lord. And just maybe have coffee with them once a week. That's what I used to do with Brother Otis. It was great. And then actually that turned into three times a week. So think about that. There are ways that you can get the same effect, even if you don't sit down with your family for three meals a day like we used to in the old days. You can do that by hanging out with godly people and have great mentors and have your own personal Bible study going.
Absolutely. I feel like it's so important to surround yourself with people that know more than you do, or that have experienced more of life than you have. And I can attest to that in my own life. When I started the company, I didn't know anything. When I say I didn't know anything on business, I mean, nothing. And so the only thing I knew was like to take my, you know, take a check to the bank and look at my balance in my checkbook. That was the extent of my business knowledge. So yeah, I think to surround yourself with people that know more than you do, find them. And these are the people that you want to sit with and learn from and ask questions. I was very inquisitive when I started the company. I've always been inquisitive as a kid. And I was never afraid or ashamed to ask a question because I don't know, I wanted to know. And I think that's a very good characteristic for anyone who's starting a business. Just understand, find the people that know more than you do, that have experienced more of life than what you have, and ask them, can I walk with you? Can we talk? Can you share with me what you know? And I think that there's so much wisdom in that. And the other part that you mentioned was the Word of God. Yes, I think to really know someone, you gotta learn to know them through in the best way that you can. And with God, to get to know Him, in my opinion, is to read the four Gospels. How did Jesus live His life? And you find His stories in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And find out how did He do life? And many times, David, as I was building Auntie Anne's, I would just, if I was at my very wit's end, like I didn't know what to do. And there was many times, many issues, many things that happened where I didn't know what to do. And I would go and I would dig into the Word of God, and particularly the four Gospels, but also the book of Proverbs. And I believe that the book of Proverbs is such a common sense, powerful book in the Bible that it should actually be in every college campus in the country, because I found every answer that I needed. As far as when I got to the end, again, when there was really tough issues, I didn't know what to do. Of course, I had people that I was surrounded with, but many times I needed something more than that. Mm-hmm. And so I would go to the book of Proverbs and I would find out, what did Jesus do?
Yes.
You know, yeah. It's timeless. The principles in the Word of God are not old fashioned. They are timeless. They work the same way today as what they did for my mom and dad back in the, you know, 20s, 30s, and 40s, and for all time.
I was doing some research for a show I was doing with one of the divisions of our company, the long-term investing part. And I kind of knew this, but I wanted the details. But in a nutshell, it's this. If you look at all of the great colleges on the East Coast, Harvard, Yale, William & Mary, Brown, you can just name them. Princeton, every one of them started as a preacher school. They didn't just teach them the Bible, though. They taught them medicine sometimes. They taught them economics. They taught them business. But when you look at the economics and management books that I had in 1972. I know the books have changed since then, but when I went to college in 1972, they still talked about a thing called the Protestant ethic and how that built the economies of the Western nations. Basically took that back to John Calvin, the great teacher of the Bible, Protestant teacher of the Bible, and that those business principles, I've actually, you know, I didn't get saved until I was about 24. I already had 2 degrees in business and was actually driving to work one morning and Jesus saved me in the car. And as I began, 3 years later, I got called to preach. And so I've been sort of a businessman preacher for 40 years or so. So as I began to study theology, study the Bible, I saw business principles everywhere. They just popped out everywhere. Let me give one example. The first thing you mentioned was hard work. And you think, well, that sounds too simple, right? But Proverbs 22:29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent," hard work, right? "Diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men or small men. He will stand before kings if he's just diligent." Well, that was the first point you made. And so all through the Bible, there are business principles. And so you guys, if you're younger and you didn't grow up in that era where you sat down 3 meals a day with your parents and learned things from them, you learn it straight from where they learned it anyway, where they would have learned it, which is the Word of God. Well, let me ask you this question. I wondered about this because in my own life, I've started more than one business. And when I was younger, I found this difficult. You have to duplicate yourself in other people. In other words, teach them how you did what you're doing in your business. And then you have to delegate to them those things and let them do it. And you're thinking, well, they can't do it as well as I can. And sometimes they can't, you know, but they can do it well enough so that you can grow. And I was just wondering, did you find that difficult early on?
Oh my goodness. Yes. I'm a little farm girl, and you know, on the farm you do everything, and you're not a leader. I believe that a leader today, we do what we have to do to start and grow our companies. But I think what's even equally as important, or maybe more important, is to be, you know, in other words, it's a leader is all about character. It's all about vision. It's all about casting vision, and it's all about people. We know people are counting on us. They're watching us, and who are we? Like, from the inside out, mm-hmm. internally, what is my character? So being is really just being. I remember a time in my life when after we'd started Auntie Anne's. I think I'm detracting from your question, if I may, right here. But at a time when we started Auntie Anne's, I'd been a housewife and a mother, and went to church. I mean, and served my community. That's all I knew. And after we started Auntie Anne's, getting to know my employees, by 1993, I guess, or so, we had about 100 employees, not counting franchisees, but corporate staff. And I had made it a point, because I love people, I wanted to know the people in my business. And so the only way you get to know someone, right, is to talk to them. You know, how are you doing? You know, what's going on in your life? And so I made it a habit every Monday morning to go see and visit and talk to all of them. Made my rounds, and from one end of the building all the way to the other, and say, hello, how are you doing? And in that process, I found out who they were and what their issues were in life. And one day, I was going back in to my office, and I was like so in touch and in tune with these people that I loved. I loved my employees, and hearing their stories and their struggles and what they'd experienced that particular weekend or whatever. And I go back to my office, and I just put my hands up in the air, and I just said, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to be, an evangelist? I mean, I'm a businesswoman. And in that moment, God spoke to me very clearly. He said, I want you to be salt and light. And wow. So I'm like, okay, but how can I do that? And God just was very clear, that I'll teach you. And so that really was a moment for me to understand. I began to understand the difference. Salt doesn't say word, it makes things tasty. So that's character. Light doesn't speak, but it makes things visible. That's character. That's what it meant to me to be instead of do. So in my early years, that changed the way I led Auntie Anne's as a company. It changed me on the inside. My internal me started to like like to understand what God was trying to teach me about who he wants me to be in the workplace. But I want to have to go back now to your question a little bit. And that is, you know, how did you learn how to delegate? What did you do as your company was growing? Well, again, I was a farm girl and I did everything. Like I was a hard worker, like just do it, right? And as the company was growing though, so the first year we had 2 stores, and next year we did 12 more. The next year we did 35 more, and the next year 50, then 65. Well, guess what? By that time I couldn't do everything, right?
Right.
And so it really, when it comes to delegating, it was really because I couldn't handle it anymore. I had no choice but to delegate. And when I began to do that, it's not like, even at that time, David, I didn't know what delegating meant for reals. I just knew I couldn't do this anymore. And I told somebody at one point, I cannot build another store. It's impossible for me. And that day, I honestly had a nervous breakdown. I didn't even know that at the time. But I just collapsed to the floor because I was trying to do everything. I wasn't trying to like be the boss or like, but there was so much to be done.
Yes.
And when I collapsed on the floor, I had 4 siblings that worked for me at that time. And they came around me and they prayed for me. And then they said, Ann, should we take you to the hospital? I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. You know? So anyway, they ended up just praying, and I finally get up and I drive. Like 3 hours later, I drove to New Jersey. It was a 2-hour drive to confront an issue with a franchisee. Okay, that's what I mean by hard work. And it's not just doing, but it's also mentally, the mental capacity that you need as a leader and as an entrepreneur. And so delegating began right around that experience, because my brother said, well, you know, let us do. Let us do for you what you can't do. And listen, guys, this is a gift. This is a blessing. People really do want to come into your company, and they really do want to help you. They come in with gifts and talents. And then we just kind of squish all that because I want to do it all, right?
That's right. And
that may not be true for everybody, but it's kind of just a general thought about, we just can't give it away because we feel like they cannot do it as well as I can. Wow. Well, that day I knew I had no choice. So I began to delegate. And let me tell you, within a short time, what we did was we were already departmentalized. So it wasn't, but what I had to learn to do then was to train the people that were in leadership already, each department head. So we began to do training, and be very, very specific about what their role was. And once people know what their role was or what it is, then that becomes their goal, their focus. But you know, if everybody's kind of doing everything and they're not clear about what they're supposed to do, it's really, really hard to build a great team. And so I feel like the delegation part for me was a critical time, but God brought a number of things together for me at that time to help me be able to release the jobs, the things that were just too all consuming for me. And what I did at that time, David, which is a beautiful thing, God has given you a gift. He's given you something unique that no one in the whole wide world has. Your own DNA is yours. And He wants to use that as a contributor to the world, to your company, to your family, and your very unique you. And so I feel like when I was able to focus on my gift, and during that time, somebody actually came to me and said, what is your gift? I was 42. I don't know what my gift is. Wow, he said, I know what your gift is. I know you well. And I'm like, oh, wow, tell me, I'm all ears. What is my gift? Anyway, so he just said, your gift is a gift of encouragement. And you can just talk to people and lift them up. So he said, use your gift in every department of the company and let the work to the people that you hired, because they're the experts. Like, they know how to do. They have a gift that they're bringing to the company. Let them do their work. And then you use your gift. Let me tell you, between God talking to me about being salt and light and being able to use my gift and then being able to delegate, wow, it was a powerful time in my life and also in the life of Auntie Anne's, because it just really, we began to build a very strong team.
I'm smiling because as you're talking, here's what I'm thinking. Okay, I'm talking to one of the most amazing business people that I've interviewed, and yet one of the most humble people. Because we talked a little bit before we started, you said, well, I don't want to get all academic. I just want to tell my story. And you just gave one of the most academic lessons on how to delegate. Just amazing. You know, what you said about salt and light, it was interesting. You know, I'm a pastor as well as a businessman. And I remember one night I was, I was down. We should never, you never want to be down if there's not a reason to be down, because that's usually the enemy, you know. And so it was one of those times.
Let me say, in business, there's often reasons.
Yeah. Often you have reasons. So that's enough. But this is one of those times when I was down for no reason. So I knew it was the enemy. But anyway, I started praying and I said, you know, I just felt like, you know, I'm not successful as a pastor because there's not enough people getting saved. And finally, it's like the Lord said to me, well, that's not your job. And I said, well, what is my job? And his answer was the same he gave you. He said, you're to be salt and light.
Wow.
And I said, well, I can do that, you know, and it encouraged me. And that is the goal, not only of a pastor, but a business leader, a Christian business leader as well. So you put that so well.
There's so many great people with great talents, you know?
Yeah.
You build a company, just think about it this way. Just bring those people in with you. It's truly amazing when you see their gifts and you let them use their gifts.
Oh, absolutely.
It makes you look better.
But I do find it humorous that you had to get to the place where you almost had a breakdown before you really would start to delegate fully. Now, you'd already built a big organization, though. That's another funny thing, because you're sitting there talking about, well, I didn't learn to delegate, and I had 642 stores or whatever it was you said. And then you got where you couldn't do it yourself. That's pretty funny. But anyway, my point is, it is hard. This is a great thing for you guys out there to learn. You're not going to naturally be a delegator. You're going to want to do it yourself. And if you don't learn to duplicate yourself and others, and I love what you said, because it's not just the methods of the business, it's yourself, your inner man, and how you treat people, and you want them to treat people the same way.
Yes.
And if you can't learn to duplicate that in others, you can never grow the business. But sometimes, you know, those of us who have done it will admit we didn't want to do it. And God had to put us in a place where we had to do it. So maybe some of you guys out there will do it sooner than that. And that would be great. But that was a great story. I've got another question I want to ask you, though. I'd like to ask you questions all day, because I love learning from people, too. And I'm learning so much from you. But as a Christian, I've often thought this, but I'm going to see what you think about it. Do you think it seems to me that God's way of success is different for his children in business than the enemy's way of success with his kids? The tares of the world have a whole different way of reaching success. Have you found that the enemy will try to make it more difficult for Christians, for you yourself in your case, through throwing roadblocks and things in the way all along the way where he can? Have you found that to be true? And if so, how'd you deal with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like, you know, as you hire more and more people, more and more ideas come into your company, right? And, and that's good, because you're a diversified company. You bring, we brought people from all over the world. Franchisees became, right now, I think we sold the company in 05, but I think now we're in 26 countries. But in the early days of Auntie Anne's, it was little Lancaster County, Pennsylvania kind of a company, I thought, you know, like my friends and family and church people and everything, you know, that came in. And so it's you bring more and more people into your company, and everybody that comes to your company has an opinion, they have a worldview, they come from their family of origin, and they bring all of that into your company. And so for myself, I was always wanting to hear what other people had to say. I wanted them to feel like they were a part of the team. But on the other hand, I didn't want to lose what God, Jonas and my husband and I, we didn't want to lose the purpose of God for Auntie Anne's. The purpose for the company was to give and to be a light. I mean, to be profitable for a higher purpose. We needed to be profitable so that we could give and to be light, as I mentioned earlier. And so I think along the way, as you have more voices and more employees and, you know, they have opinions. And one example for me was we knew that tithing was imperative. And one-tenth that we started from day one, get one-tenth of our gross sales. And the bigger the company got and the more money and the P&Ls and everything got a whole lot more complicated, right? But we still, our purpose was to give one-tenth and or more, but that was the benchmark that we had at that time. And throughout my tenure there at AMD, as we did. But throughout the years then, you know, the company's growing, you know, we need to make money. And the challenge became, you know, I don't know if we should, you know, keep giving that much. So people will steal if you allow them. I love all my employees. Nobody was, you know, mean or unkind in any way, but their ideas and their thoughts and their opinions about giving that much was, you know, kind of, I don't know, should we keep doing this, right? So my point in that is that you will have many voices that will try to derail you, but you have to be firm and you have to know why you're in business. What is your purpose? Is it to make money, put it in the bank, buy a bigger house, buy a bigger car? Mm-hmm. Is that it? Or is there a greater purpose? And if you know what that greater purpose is, then you are responsible to God to fulfill that purpose. And so let me just do the analogy that God showed me at one point, and that was you're in this world, but you are not of it. And so the 21st century business people, how in the world, how do we do that, right? And God gave me the analogy like, because the kingdom of God has the biblical principles, our kingdom principles, right? And as a believer, that's what we want to follow, right? But we live in this world, and I believe that it's very easy for us to adapt to the principles and the ways of this world. Now, we can talk about what does that mean, the ways of the world, but I'm not going to go into that. But the analogy, like you're in the world, but not of it. And so he showed me, I went on a cruise one time, and when I was on the ship, God just kind of spoke to me, you're in the water, but you are not of the water. If you're on the hull of the ship and you're standing, looking out across the water, and you decide you think you're of the water, you jump in the water, you will quickly understand and know that's to your death. You will die. You're not of the water. And David, that's the way I think as Christian business people are. If we're going to do business according to the principles of this world, we're going to die. Eventually, we're going to die. Inside, if I don't know what about the business part, but inside we will die. We will become empty and fruitless, like without fruit from the internal life of who God really created us to be. So we need to know what the principles of the Word of God are so that we can then live it out in this world without being, without losing it all.
Right.
It became clear to me, I got to stick to the principles of the Word of God. And how do I do that with the team around me? And that was that there's where salt and light came in. I would often talk about the principles of God without preaching or without, like, you know, berating or without, like, giving them my opinion about. But you got to learn how to be salt and light. Look at the life of Christ. He knew how to talk to everybody. And I think it's really a lot about how do we communicate? We don't have to be diehard, mad and angry because people are of the world, they're coming into our company. No, we can be kind, we can be loving, we can be Christ to them in a way that is attractive to them, and at the same time keep the salt and the light and keep the purpose for which you were created, keep it intact and keep it strong.
Beautiful. You know, the Apostle Paul makes it clear in the Bible that we're allowed by God to do business with the world as Christians, but we're not supposed to be yoked together with the world system. And that's what you're saying. And I mean, you're so right. And I liked, you had sort of a twofold thing going there. One was that you have to stick to your purpose, and that if you don't, it might destroy your person, you personally. The business might be fine, but it might destroy you, and you are the leader God put there. I don't think the business would be fine if that happened, but yeah, you've got to stick with that purpose that God put in your heart, And I loved what your purpose was. We say the same thing, very similar all the time, is people question, well, why should a Christian even strive to be rich? Well, it's because you don't keep it all. You take care of your family. You take care of your family. You keep the business going. But rich, to me, riches means just more than you need. It's more money than you need. So what do you do with that? You help other people that God directs you to help in other things, institutions. And you put it, it's God's money anyway. In fact, Auntie Anne's is God's business. And you're his child and you're in his family business. And you know that. And the money's just a tool and all of that. But you use it to put it where God instructs you to put it. And that's how he continues to bless. Well, he has blessed you richly and you have blessed me. I mean, I've been sitting here a couple of times with tears in my eyes just listening to you. You're a wonderful teacher because you do teach by stories, but you teach very effectively, and this is going to help maybe thousands of people. So I thank you so much for being with us today. And you know what? I'm really looking forward to being with you at our summit coming up. I was going to ask you this. Tell our folks how they can reach you, and you're holding up, looks like a book. Is this a new book?
This is my latest book. It's called, thank you for letting me do this, David. It's Overcome and Lead. And it's the principles that I talked about. They're all in this book, and you can get it on Amazon, but you can also go to my website, which is AuntieAnnBeiler.com. If you order with AuntieAnnBeiler.com, then I will send you a signed copy if that's what you would like. So it's my story about how we started Auntie Anne's and grew the company from one store to it's almost 2,000 locations around the world now. It's a God story, and I want people to see God. I want people to understand that he's just make him your, not just your partner, but make him the boss, and he'll help you grow your company. And also he will help you grow.
Absolutely. Okay. Now folks, that's Anne with an E, A-N-N-E, B-E-I-L-E-R, B-E-I-L-E-R. Now tell us the whole URL again, because so they can get the signed copy.
Absolutely. So you go to AuntieAnnBeiler.com. That's AuntieAnnBeiler.com.
All right. That's fantastic. You guys do that now. Well, it's been great. I love it. We'll have to do it again sometime if you'd be willing and cover more time and more topics. And I really look forward to being with you at the summit coming up soon. And I hope you have just a great day. Thanks for being with us.
Well, all right. Thank you, David. Thanks again for the opportunity. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, guys, thanks for joining us today. And make sure to grab your ticket to our annual Word on Investing Virtual Summit coming up April 14th and 15th, 2023. Registration's going to be closing soon, and here's the deal. You're going to have the opportunity to hear some powerful people in the business world and all people who love the Lord. People like Anne Beiler, the Benham Brothers, and Dr. Myron Golden, and many more. So get your free ticket at tradeway.com/summit. That's tradeway.com/summit. Thanks again for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.